Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to A Changing Attitude, the show that drags you kicking and screaming through the dog shit that was 1996 WWF on the promise that it will get better as we go along. I am Mags, and with me this week, Scottish Danny. Scottish Danny, how are you, sir?
Hello, Mags. I'm really well, thank you very much. How are you?
Yes, I'm not doing too bad. For context, I've just literally watched Wrestle Kingdom Night 1 today. Had a lot of fun doing that. And then get to spend some time chatting about this this role with you. So, good day had by all. But you've got a little bit of news, I believe. Danny, as you know, has been on for the Change Attitude for the last few weeks, filling in for Tanner whilst he continues his move across the states and kind of gets himself resettled in Austin. And we, Ori and I, have had so much fun with Danny kind of filling those boots. The listeners clearly have really enjoyed it because the numbers tell us that more and more people are engaged. So we offered Danny the opportunity to maybe stick around a bit longer, be a more permanent member of the team, and Danny has graciously accepted. So first of all, I want to say thank you, Danny, for helping out over these past few weeks, and also thanks for being willing to be a part of this team. And yeah, it's going to be fun over the next few years or so going through the Attitude Era with you, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you to all the team. I mean, I was just blown away when you asked me to be a part. I was just like, wow. Just, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
And you also have a little more of a tidbit of news, something that those of us in the know already knew about, but it's becoming more and more of a reality. So yeah, tell us about your new project.
So me and Chris Bellis are starting the One Man's Meat podcast, which is
brilliant. By the way,
thank you. That was all, Chris. we discussed the rare wrestling that people have forgotten about, like names like Luther Reigns and Mark Jindrak, and things that people don't talk about anymore. Rare shows, those shows that are not on the WWE network, like Sunday Night Heats. And just things like that, yeah. And we couldn't have done it without people like you, Rob, Dan, Andy, Si, things like that, Ori. and Tanner. Yeah, so we're really happy and thank you.
Yeah, and this is going to be a part of the Unbooking the Territory network, or however they're going to name it, group. So if you've ever had a reason to go and subscribe to Rob and Dan's podcast, Unbooking the Territory, Dan and Chris have just given you another reason. So I'll definitely go and check them out, get involved, go and follow them on Twitter. I think it's at One Man's Meat Podcast, if that's right. Yeah, go and give them a follow. Get in on the ground floor because I've got a feeling this is going to be a banger of a podcast.
Thank you.
But, and this is a smooth segue, what wasn't a banger was this episode of Raw. Coming straight out of In Your House, It's Time, we had the episode of Raw from December the 16th, 1996, in the Ass Palace, Tampa, Florida. And we've got Vince, Jim Ross, and Jerry Lawler on commentary, and we're starting off pretty hot from the pay-per-view. The commentary team actually started talking about the opening match, Austin versus Vader, which we found out about a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, we hear Bret Hart's music, and Bret Hart starts stomping his way to the ring, clearly unhappy, clearly upset. Vince McMahon sounds flustered, like he hasn't got a clue what's going on. And Jim Ross drops the bombshell, oh, it looks like there's an impromptu interview. Yeah, I'm going to deal with that right now. So, yeah, we get an interview with Bret Hart where he essentially says if this is the way WWF and the way the big players in WWF are playing with no rules, he's going to be like that. He calls Shawn Michaels a little prissy, says slags off the fans of the clique, says he lied that he wouldn't interfere in the main event, and he did all that because he couldn't handle the fact that Shawn Michaels is not as good as Bret Hart. It's a very run-of-the-mill kind of heel Bret Hart interview, but he does drop some nuggets of info. He announces himself to be in the Royal Rumble. And then he says he's going to sit at the announce table and just mind his own business. What did you think of this kind of opening with Bret Hart kind of airing his grievances, Danny?
This had a lot of different... I mean, if you've watched Bret Hart from 94 to 95, I mean, this was a completely different Bret Hart, obviously. He had a lot more edge. It just felt a lot forced, if you know what I mean. It didn't come off natural. I mean, Bret Hart really hasn't been known as the greatest promo man of all time, but I mean, this, I just wasn't a fan of this.
Yeah, I mean, I was never a huge fan of Bret Hart as a heel anyway, because he's always come across as that clean-cut babyface character. And sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around the total 118 character. He made a lot of sense in what he was saying, though. That Shawn Michaels had screwed with him in the match when he said he wouldn't do. But yeah, Bret Hart's promos are nowhere near the quality of his in-ring work.
No, definitely not.
So after that, we actually do go into the first match, one that we were told about a few weeks ago. Stone Cold Steve Austin taking on the person who should have been the focal point of It's Time, but was weirdly not on the card. Thank you, Shawn Michaels, you politicking douchebag. Stone Cold versus Vader. Not a long match by any stretch of the imagination, but we do start to get more of that that Austin character that becomes more prevalent in the 97-98 era of WWF. He starts doing things like Luthes Pressers and stomping a mud hole. The fans are really kind of getting behind Stone Cold now as well. I mean, we've commented on this show how WWE likes to almost rewrite history, saying that Austin 316 was massive from the get-go. And now here we are some 7 months later, and it's now only just starting to kind of steamroll, where the fans are getting behind Austin. He's really kind of growing into that character. What did you think of this match?
this was, like you said, it wasn't the best Austin match, but I mean, it was a fun little brawl. There was nothing wrong with it. There was one major offence in this was Stone Cold hit a low blow on Vader at one point, and the referee in clear view just did nothing. But other than that, I mean, it was a pretty good little brawl, but with very, very not really good finish. What did you think?
Yeah, the finish, I mean, the finish made sense in terms of kept that Austin versus Brett storyline going. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of these janky finishes, and I'm certainly not a huge fan of when wrestlers have more than one storyline going on at a time. And if you look at Bret Hart now, he's essentially got three. He's got the stuff with Psycho Sid. He's got the stuff with HBK, and now he's also in the middle of this Austin thing. It's he's spreading himself a little bit thin for me. But knowing how this works for Austin's career, I understand why they're doing it. But yeah, it was a decent opener. We've seen far worse, but we've certainly seen far better.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
After that, we get a Coliseum home video exclusive. Even though if you watch it on the network, we saw pretty much exactly the same thing with Ahmed Johnson doing his in-ring interview, and then Farouk and the Nation in the crowd essentially calling him an Uncle Tom, saying that he's gonna when you talk about the promised land, you talk about Farouk, and he's gonna essentially whoop the living piss out of Ahmed, and we get again Ahmed starting that chant, you're going down. Just like a little recap and a refresher that this storyline is still going on.
Yeah. It was just basically the same thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah. So then after that, second match, tag team match against the Godwins and Razor Ramon and Diesel. Do you know, I've not liked this Razor Ramon and Diesel run. I didn't like it when it first happened. Certainly don't like it 25 years on. But this wasn't the worst match. I think finally we're getting a little bit of chemistry between not only Razor Ramon and Diesel themselves, but between them working in the ring. I mean, the Godwins, I think, are very underrated in... Maybe not so much being one of the upper echelons of tag teams, but can certainly work a decent match.
Definitely.
And then you've got like four big hosses essentially slapping meat. Another pretty short match. I was actually surprised that Razor and Diesel went over, because this team hasn't got that much more legs to go, I don't think. The jokes run pretty thin already, and it already feels like WWF has kind of have backed off from the whole point of the team. But what did you think of the match in general?
Yeah, like you said, it was really good. The big thing I was shocked about was Jim Ross saying that Fake Diesel was 25 here. I was actually shocked because he did not look like a 25-year-old.
I think Kane's been 25 for maybe 25 years.
But, yeah, it was definitely their best match as a team from what the little I've seen. I mean, I'm just shocked that... I mean, do they make it into 1997, these two?
I think they kind of fade out in January... early January of 1997. So, yeah, we haven't got, thankfully, we haven't got much longer to put up with this trap. But there was I think the finish led to a pretty cool segment when we see Razor attempting to go for the Razor's Edge. Then we see Henry Godwin sneak up behind and lock in the slop drop. But then Diesel slides in. And delivers the jackknife. A good little kind of a sequence of moves there. I thought the match was fun. Nothing kind of memorable. It's not one I'd urge everyone to go back and watch again, but certainly not the worst match that we've seen from Razor and Diesel.
Yeah, I would agree.
So then going on from that, we get Vince McMahon having an impromptu interview with Psycho Sid. Again, they bring up the stuff with Bret Hart. They bring up the stuff with Shawn Michaels and the stuff with Jose Lothario. They mention that Shawn Michaels is facing him at the Royal Rumble, which is in San Antonio, which is not only Shawn Michaels' backyard, but Jose Lothario's backyard. And essentially, this is more continuation of that heel turn, I suppose, for Psycho Sid, when he essentially warns Jose Lothario to stay at home and watch on pay-per-view, because if he gets involved again, he's going to pay. Standard Psycho Sid style interview, and as we said last week, he's good at conveying emotion the quieter his interviews get. So I thought this was a very adequate interview from Psycho Sid. What did you think?
Yeah, definitely. It just contrasts with the Shawn Michaels interview that we'll be seeing next as well. It's a perfect contrast.
Yeah, and we'll get straight into that, because we get a cutaway to Shawn Michaels stood in front of a screen before we go for a break, and the camera stays on him for quite a while. And I don't think I've seen a human being chew gum so intensively as Shawn Michaels was chewing this gum. If he wasn't on some sort of substance, I would be shocked, because he couldn't stay still. He couldn't focus on the camera. His eyes were really dark, like he'd been awake for like 72 hours. And that gum got the chewing of its life. It was it was quite worrying. But we get an advert, and I think it was actually the advert for the WWF theme music album, the one with Fred Blassie in the studio, and then a kid dressing up as his favorite WWF characters. And it always kind of freaks me out when you get that last one, where the little kid is dressed as Goldust. And he kind of like bats at the screen. Yeah, that's a weird advert.
Definitely. I thought it'd be on Taron's TV, that old adverts clip show.
Yeah. We then go back to Shawn Michaels and we get his response to not only to Sid, to Brett. He focused on Sid at first, saying that he can't wait for his title shot. The 71,000 San Antonio fans will not only be behind him, but will also be behind the Texas legend Jose Lothario. When he focuses on Bret Hart, he kind of alludes to Bret not winning the Rumble, and saying if he doesn't win the Rumble, there'll be no excuses for Bret, and we better believe him that he's going to leave San Antonio as the WWF champion. And as for Brett, he's not the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels, and even if he wanted to be, he just couldn't do it. Interesting Shawn Michaels interview. For all his faults, and for how much he looked like he was on the the sniffing powder. He got across what he needed to get across. He promoted the Rumble, promoted the upcoming match with Sid, and kept that kind of the fire burning between him and Bret Hart. These three kind of interviews with all these three main players in this title picture, they did what they needed to do.
Definitely. I mean, it was all about sound bites, wasn't it? Just getting across the points, getting across the selling points and things like that.
You're absolutely right. So then another match, Doug Furness and Phil LaFon. Now, if you remember, they're putting a great show in at, I think it was Survivor Series, where they essentially beat the champions in the Survivor Series match, ended up being the last two survivors, if I remember rightly. Really talented wrestlers. And they went up against T.L. Hopper, the plumber, the guy who puts his cloth down the back of his pants and then wipes his brow with it. Just absolutely grimy. And Dr. X. Now, for those who don't know, Dr. X is actually Tom Pritchard under the hood. This was a squash match, as much as a squash match can be. Furness and LaFon, it looks like the WWF have got a lot of potential for these guys. Whether that kind of sticks and we see them long term, we'll certainly get down that road. But Tom, Dr. X, and Tialpa do a good job of putting the two faces over. We see the Cobra Clutch Suplex, which is something we haven't really seen a lot of in this era of WWF so far. But it's a relatively short match. We get JR bigging up the two, saying how he thinks that they've got a shot to becoming the best of the tag team division. And in terms of wrestling, yeah, I think he's got a point. Whether they have the character to get there, who's to say? But yeah, Danny, give us your thoughts on this match, sir.
This was the first time I'd seen T.L. Hopper. I'd always heard about him in the various dirt sheets and Power Slam magazine and things like that. But this, wow, it just exceeded expectations for how bad of a character this was. I mean, just wow. Yeah, if you can get past that, it wasn't an offensive match. It was kind of just there. But like you said, the Phil LaFon and Doug Furness, it was just a thing for them to just get over here.
Yeah, just to keep them, I suppose, in everybody's mind. Because it's been a while since we've actually seen anything from them. So, yeah, inoffensive match. You nailed it absolutely perfectly. Then we get a little bit of a soundbite from Billy Gunn telling us that he's going to prove that he's the top gun. And then we go into a very offensive match. Not so much what happens in the match, it's more the aftermath, but let's get into it. This is your people's main event. This is the tournament of the summer. This has took so damn long to get here. We've got the Karate Fighters final with Jerry Lawler taking on Sable. Now I think there's a little bit of miscommunication because we see Jerry Lawler before he's obviously on commentary, but before the match gets set up, he says he's going backstage. Then he ends up being in the ring, and then he ends up going backstage again. I think there may be a little bit of editing errors or maybe a little bit of a confusion, but he wants somebody in his corner to kind of balance out for Sable's valet, Mark Miro. So he gets Hunter Hurt Helmsley. So after all this weeks of booking this Karate Fighters tournament, it was all a ploy to add to the story of Hunter Hurst Helmsley versus goddamn Mark Miro. Jesus Christ. But yeah, we get a little bit of jacking, Joe jacking from Lawler. He calls Sable a cheat. We get to the actual match, if you could call it a match, and it's essentially two grown-ass adults playing with a kid's toy where the Karate Fighters kick each other off their plinth, I suppose. Sable wins. Then Lawler demands a rematch. Gets essentially told no. Starts berating Sable. Then Mark Miro comes to her defense, saying, "Why don't you get a piece of me?" And you can see Triple H sneaking behind him to clock him, beat him up. So the schmoz is on. Jerry Lawler and Hunter beating the living piss out of Mark Miro. And out comes Goldust for the save. So Goldust evens the odds, cleans the ring. Mark Miro and Sable and Hunter leave, and we end up with Goldust and Jerry Lawler in the ring together.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Jerry Lawler, now we have give him grief over this show for the stuff he said about Mark Henry, for the stuff he said about Jake Roberts. The guy has been a scumbag. Let's not beat around the bush, but this may be the very worst that we've seen, certainly so far, and in the run of this show, but it may be the worst we'll see for a long, long time. So he's Lawler is essentially giving Goldust grief about Triple H making a pass at Marlena. He's trying to get Goldust to stand up for himself, and he makes a comment that Helmsley is a real man. So Goldust starts to ask him, what does he mean by saying he's a real man? And we see Jerry with the innuendos going, well, you know, and Goldust wants him to say the words. And eventually we get, and I'm not going to repeat it because it's a term that is offensive, it's horrific, it's no place in wrestling in 2022, certainly had no place in 1996. But yeah, he essentially makes a very homophobic reference. Gets his comeuppance when he gets absolutely slapped the living piss out of by Goldust. And we get Marlena coming in the ring. Yeah, Danny, talk us through what you thought about this match and then this segment with Jerry Lawler.
Well, as far as the match goes, I mean, just it was over very quickly, wasn't it? Because they obviously didn't pre-tape well in the back of this. But as a match, it was obviously unmemorable. I did wonder if this was worked, like this karate fighter, so that Jerry Lawler's one would fall off first. But
they probably glued or blue tacked down the figure.
Yeah, I think you're right, just so they could get this angle out. But in terms of the slur, what were they hoping to achieve by this? The crowd died. I mean, just it was just flat. Were they hoping for a pop or anything? I mean, this was just
it didn't even get the heat that a Jerry Lawler segment should get. We all know that the character of Goldust was meant to be sexually ambiguous. I mean, we've had the whole thing where he was rubbing up against Scott Hall when he was Razor. We get that this is meant to be an uncomfortable character for people to get their head around. But to go as far, for me, it works better as a character because you have that. You don't quite know what the sexuality of the Goldust character is. That's how it works. That ambiguity for Jerry Lawler to come out and flat out say the word that he said for Goldust to have to deny it. It takes away from the whole point of that character. And I get it's to build a feud, and I get it's to get heat on Lawler, but it just felt unnecessary and crass.
Yeah, definitely. Unneeded.
I didn't like it at all. It was very much the turn in the punch bowl for me on this show.
It just killed the crowd. But, I mean, nobody took it seriously. I mean, just how can you build a feud on this? Just, no.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, if there was ever a segment on this show that made the fans turn over to Nitro, this is probably it.
Mm, absolutely.
So then we get our main event, one that we've been teased quite a few weeks. The splitting of the Smoking Guns. Obviously, we had the Billy promo earlier in the show. This was interesting. And I wouldn't have really kind of pegged both of these two as main event stars. Billy's certainly on his way there. He's certainly got the charisma. But I wouldn't have pegged that these two would end the Raw after a pay-per-view. But interesting finish. I mean, so in the match, we start and then instantly go to a commercial, which makes not the slightest lick of sense. Because when we come back from the commercial, it's now the pace of the match has really slowed down, and we see Billy taking the lead. We then get shots of both Billy and Bart's wives in attendance on the show. We see Billy really working a technical style with chin locks and then net breakers. We see that Bart gets escapes and kind of does a gun stun on the ropes, and Billy, kayfabe, he essentially hurts his neck, lands really awkwardly, and he essentially stays down. We see Bart really kind of looking shocked at first, thinking, what is going on? Is he trying to pull the wool over my eyes? But then when we get the X going up and then the officials coming out, and then the wives are both coming into the ring, absolutely berating Bart for essentially saying, this has gone too far. You two are meant to be brothers, and now one of you is out. Bart really does a good job of selling his remorse, kind of realizing how bad it has gone, and Billy ends up doing the stretcher job, getting shipped out to end the show. Interesting end to the show, and like I said, not something I would have ordinarily thought would have happened. But what did you think of this segment of a match that we saw, and the way it ended? Give us your thoughts, Danny.
Yep. Well, this is the battle of the guns that we've been promised for quite a long time.
Big guns. Welcome to the gun show.
Yep. And I can see why it wasn't on pay-per-view now. Mm-hmm. But as far as the ending goes, this was the first time I'd seen a Raw finish like this. Up to this point, anyway, it was just like, I think this they were either copying a Nitro that had happened. I have a memory of Ric Flair being stretched out. Was it 1995? I think I'm not sure. I have to look it up. But I just wasn't. This could have been shelved to the middle of the show, to be honest, in my opinion. But it kind of left this role as like, oh God, like rather than wanting to tune in with like a brawl at the end instead. They've left it on a down note, and it's like, oh, you're quite depressed after watching that.
Yeah, I totally agree. But it's an interesting change up from the endings that we've had recently. So I give them props for trying something new, whether it'll work, and we will get some resolution to this story down the line. But it certainly won't be next week, because next week's again in the same recording block, so we'll still be at the Ars Palace in Tampa, Florida. We have, I think, Hunter takes on Mark Miro for the RC title. We have the return of Rocky Maivia to continue his feud with Salvatore Sincere. We have Cybernetico and Perov taking on the New Rockers, and then we have Bret Hart versus Razor Ramon. So interesting card to watch next week. But that's about all from us this week. A relatively short episode, but there was not a lot of meat on the bone in terms of this Raw. You can tell they're in the typical post pay-per-view scene where they're going to be building the stories for the next show. But other than that, let's give some socials and get on out of here, Danny. So tell everybody where they can find you on social media and give them another update on the content that you've got coming up very soon.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Scottish Juggalo. I may not sound Scottish, but I am. And you can also follow One Man Meat Podcast for future shows that will be released. Our first episode will be released this month, so I'm looking forward to that. But in terms of that, that's all I really do, really, on social media.
Yeah, so go give Danny a follow. Definitely go and check out One Man's Meat Podcast. I'm genuinely excited for it. Can't wait to see what you and Chris come up with. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at PodfatherMags. Definitely go and follow our missing cohorts, Tanner at Texas Gentleman _ and Ore at Ore the Draw on all social medias. Follow the podcast at ACIA Podcast. And whilst you're here, check out some more content here on the Chair Shot. There's absolutely amazing content creators creating a plethora of outstanding content, not only in audio form but also in written on the website with news, analysis, and opinion pieces. And then also, whilst you're at it, go check out ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot for your quality merchandise. And as Ori says, definitely go check out those soft style t-shirts in honor of the Twitterless heroine herself, Miranda Morales. But yep, that's all from us at Chainyatu. We will see you next week. But as we always say here on the Chair Shot, remember to always use your head. Bye, folks.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.